The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The Los Angeles Clippers have been mentioned as a team that could be interested in DeMar DeRozan if they do lose out on Paul George this offseason for nothing. How big of a risk are the Bulls at to losing DeMar DeRozan in this offseason? We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, Chris Paul rumoredly is interested in playing again for Billy Donovan, which could lead him to the Chicago Bulls, but I don't like that one at all. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, one of my favorite players in this draft, Terrence Shannon Jr., seems to be falling almost to the second round. Is that the type of player the Bulls should explore getting a second round pick to draft? We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Er Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into it for today, man. And so, DeMar DeRozan and the Los Angeles Clippers. Los Angeles teams in general has kind of always been in the back of the mind. DeMar DeRozan, even earlier this offseason, and when he talked about kind of his priorities in free agency and wanting to win and compete and things like that. And, you know, also mentioned, hey, you know, he would like to return to the Bulls, but then saying it's always kind of in the back of his mind playing for one of the LA teams. And it kind of makes sense. And they could end up in an offseason this year where everything kind of aligns for maybe DeMar DeRozan to go to the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, the Bulls have been rumored to be wanting to retain DeMar DeRozan. Some Bulls fans, you know, agree with that. Some Bulls fans don't. But then you have the fact that the Bulls rumoredly offered DeMar DeRozan a two-year contract worth $80 million. That's $40 million per, and he turned that down when his max is around $45 million. So, you know, that has kind of raised some signs and for concern that maybe DeMar DeRozan's priority list, which he mentioned, will kind of have him going elsewhere other than staying with the Chicago Bulls, unless the Bulls do some other things around the team. Now, for the Clippers side of things, it makes a lot of sense that they could pivot towards DeMar DeRozan for a few different reasons. This is already an older roster, right, of, you know, kind of aging veterans around it. They just re-up with Kawhi Leonard as well. James Harden's a player looking for a contract extension on top of all those things. And so it's something that that both sides could align at the right time to where it could just make sense for both sides. The Clippers are also a team that's moving into their own stadium, and so they're going to want to stay competitive. And DeMar DeRozan theoretically could fit the timeline of a Kawhi Leonard, of a James Harden, as far as when it comes time to blow that up, which I do think they will do within 3 to 4 years, even after moving into that new building. They don't have to attach hugely long-term money to DeMar. They could sell it on a homecoming, which could also be something that could sell tickets in that new arena. We know that the Los Angeles Clippers are looked up as the B team in LA. Like people in LA, just you get them Clippers tickets, they almost want to smack you, right? They almost want to smack you. But when it comes down to it, the fact that they did re-sign Kawhi Leonard to a long-term deal, it's showing that this team does, at least for right now, want to stay competitive. James Harden up for a new deal at some point. You know, they brought in Russell Westbrook. They've taken a lot of chances on kind of aging veteran players that some people have looked on and asked, like, okay, where are they really going to still compete at? Kawhi Leonard coming off of one of his most healthy seasons, you know, really since that championship season with the Toronto Raptors. This is the most games he's played since that season. So the Clippers are trying to stay competitive. They are a team that, you know, many people did look at, if they could stay fully healthy, could be a championship contending team. And with the 76ers being a team that is going to go hard after Paul George, if the Clippers cannot retain Paul George, DeMar DeRozan makes some sense. Still a very productive player. Yes, he has his limitations. He's not the defender that Paul George is when Paul George is healthy. But again, they may be looking at it as more, fitting with it, and especially if Kawhi is going to be able to stay healthy. They could be looking at something like that. So it makes a lot of sense for a team that just won 51 games, if they lose out on Paul George, to pivot towards a veteran player that they could probably play for 3 or 4 years, move off that money, in a relatively quick time. They don't have to attach 5, 6 years to DeMar DeRozan, and he fits their timeline. So it'd be interesting to watch if the Clippers do, get involved. And if Paul George does move, which is something I should have mentioned at the top of the show, if Paul George does move on from the Los Angeles Clippers, then that would create $32 million, upwards of $32 million in true cap space that they could create. So theoretically, they could make a move for a DeMar DeRozan without needing a sign and trade from the Chicago Bulls. Now, if they still want to kind of stay as low under the luxury tax or second tax apron as they can, they could still explore maybe a sign and trade that the Bulls can maybe try to get some pieces or maybe even some seconds or something off of a move like that. But if the Clippers truly do make that move to try to get bring in a DeMar DeRozan, there's only so much that the Chicago Bulls can really do for it. So, we'll see what they do with James Harden. That's going to be a big part in that. Initially, he has a cap hold of $53 million. Probably going to sign for less than that. But other than that, Mason Plumlee, Rodney Hood, Daniel Tice, Brandon Boston Jr. listed all on their cap sheet. And they only have a second-round pick in this upcoming draft as well at number 46. So it could be something that, the Bulls could, maybe try to, hey, Clips, you're signing our guy. Can we help facilitate that deal? And it would be up to the Clippers at that point to decide, hey, is giving up anything kind of worth it when we can just sign DeMar DeRozan outright, or can we create ourselves a little bit of cap room and flexibility by deciding to, hold on to DeMar DeRozan? So that's something that they have. The Clippers also have second-round picks from now all the way into 2030, so they could, sweeten the pot with that in the sign-and-trade type deal. The Bulls seem to be the only team that gives up heavily protected lottery first-round picks in sign-and-trade. So, that is what it is. So, that comes down to it. I do believe that the interest there is legitimate if Paul George does leave. And ultimately, it comes down to if the Bulls can convince DeMar DeRozan to stay, because they can offer him the most money. But I think the direction of the team does matter in that. And while DeMar said the right things as far as wanting to stay in Chicago, being willing to retire in Chicago, those are all things that he should say as well. But, for an organization in the Chicago Bulls that has won less and less games every year that DeMar DeRozan has been here, the fact that, DeMar could go back home and actually play in California, for a franchise, that would have a need for him, and a franchise that would be, at least competing at a higher level than what the Bulls are. I do think there is some legitimacy to the potential here of DeMar DeRozan going to the Los Angeles Clippers. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. And if it does come to that, should the Bulls even, and regardless of who the team is, get into a bidding war when it comes to DeMar DeRozan, especially when they've already, reportedly offered him about $40 million per year? Or do the Bulls maybe need to realize the writing on the wall? And if he does decide to leave, let him, and maybe try to facilitate a signing trade to help the other team facilitate the deal if needed. Let me know what you guys think on all that down below. I don't know if I fully believe that this is going to happen. It's a lot of ifs in this, right? If Paul George does go to the 76ers, which I do think they're going to make a big run at Paul George. But if he does agree to that to pair with Joel Embiid, have an easier go in the Eastern Conference maybe than what the Western Conference is, maybe that's some things that you look at there. But, let me know what you guys think ultimately on the DeMar DeRozan saga. And if the Bulls do lose DeMar DeRozan for nothing in this free agency period, how would you kind of view that as a fail or whatever by the Chicago Bulls? Or would you look at it kind of as natural progression to get into the place of the Bulls just betting on their young guys? Let me know what you guys think on that down below. Now, there's also another interesting player this time that reportedly is interested in coming to the Chicago Bulls. And that is, this one comes from ESPN's Chris Herring, who said this. Even if Ball is able to come back now that he's had a meniscus transplant, Chicago's going to need a table setter, either to serve as a starter as Ball eases into things, or to relieve him and play decent minutes. And who better than to do that but Paul, who even as he nears age 40, is still a solid offensive player. Now, the thing about this, and the thing I always say for people, you could always tell writers who don't follow actually the Chicago Bulls to even present the fact that Ball may come back as a starter is idiotic. I'm sorry. You know, I may never work for ESPN because I don't give a shit. Because when you say stupid shit, you get stupid responses. And I'm sorry to say that Lonzo Ball to serve as a starter, and even Chris Paul to serve as a starter. Did we not just see the ascension of Kobe White? And while not a traditional point guard, do you think that this team is in a position where they're going to have Kobe White sit down? Where Billy Donovan and everybody's talked about not changing Kobe's role? You got to pay attention. Read the tea leaves, people, before you write these articles. But it also has been by other articles as well, that, you know, from Bleacher Report, that Chris Paul has an interest in reuniting with Billy Donovan, one of the coaches that did use him at the best, where the first time where people started asking, is Chris Paul washed? Billy Donovan kind of proved that he wasn't by really running a heavy system for Chris Paul. So I understand that. And while Chris Paul did accept a role off the bench for the Golden State Warriors, you know, finishing the season averaging 9.2 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, almost 7 assists per game, shooting the ball 44% from the field and 37% from three-point range, not terrible numbers for a backup point guard. The thing that comes to this when it comes down to it is that I don't see the Bulls going after another aging 40-year-old basketball player at a time where it seems like their roster is ready to pivot towards younger. Like I said, pivot towards younger. Didn't say eliminate all veterans on the team. Want you guys to make sure that there is a very clear delineation between saying that we don't need veterans and saying that we're gearing towards younger. Just want to be clear there. And while Chris Paul, I do think, could be effective in some areas off the bench, hey, unless Chris Paul is coming for a veteran minimum, on top of that, even if Lonzo Ball is able to return, I'd much rather Lonzo Ball play that backup role. And Chris Paul, when it comes down to it, is just not a player that I am personally interested in coming to the Chicago Bulls at the age, at his production level. I'm just not interested in it personally. Now, what I'm interested in may not matter, right? Especially for a front office that if they do lose DeMar DeRozan, could Chris Paul then come in as that veteran? Maybe there's something to be said at there, right? If we lose DeMar DeRozan in free agency and Chris Paul looks at it and says, hey, I really just kind of want to play for Billy Donovan. You know, we'll see I understand that my time may be behind me to compete for a title. If you're willing to take a vet minimum and a team friendly contract, anything is kind of workable and feasible at that point in time. But I would like to see the Bulls kind of prioritize youth at that point. Now, one thing could be said is that the Bulls move on from DeMar DeRozan.
Hey, have you heard about Tim Horton's new happy hour? Get 50% off summer menu drinks after 2 p.m. Monday to Thursday.
50% off?
Yeah. Try the new Cocoa Caramel Crunch Iced Cap, Butter Pecan Cold Brew, Mango Frozen Lemonade, Solar Splash Tim's Boost, and Berry Cherry Refresher.
There are so many options. That's really good.
Discover a new favorite with Tim's summer menu and enjoy 50% off during happy hour. Only at Tim's. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Terms apply.
Frozen, and Ayo Dosunmu was in that starting lineup. You then have Alex Caruso as your guard off the bench. He's better than Javon Carter, right? So you got that. That bald headed hoe still on the roster, right? But so you got those aspects of things. Definitely plays a part into it. And to me, it's just one of those moves where it's like, I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not underwhelmed. I'm not even just whelmed. It's just kind of. It's like, really, is that what this has come to? Is that what it's come to? Is that Chris Paul? That's what we're looking for. If that is the Bulls' big free agent acquisition this year, is Chris goddamn Paul? I am going to go absolutely nuclear, because what are we doing right now? Again, it's not that Chris Paul didn't find ways to be effective. In all honesty, he did. He found ways to be effective. I can't deny that. It'd be me just lying if I didn't say that Chris Paul found some ways to be effective. But to me, at Chris Paul's, even at his effective and his production level, you can find that. You can find that in not a 40-year-old aging player, in my personal opinion. That's just how I view it and look at it. But could he be a mentor off the bench? Could he be an extension of the coach? Could Chris Paul eventually go into coaching, and maybe that's a step in that direction? Those are some things that there could be some legitimate answers to that. I don't care. I really don't care. I just don't care. And that's really what it comes down to when it comes to Chris Paul being even mentioned in any kind of area with the Chicago Bulls. I just personally don't give a shit. I don't. And I'm sorry, and I hate to be frank. I've been trying my best not to curse as much on the show. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I really don't. Chris Paul isn't Chris Paul anymore. He's just Paul. And when it comes down to it, are we really going to let a man named Paul determine our offseason? You know, like I said, if he wants to come for the vet minimum, considering how close the Bulls are to the luxury tax. Cool. Here goes your jersey, Chris Paul. Try not to fuck it up. But other than that, it's like, what are we doing here, bro? What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? And that's kind of my thought process on it. But you guys can let me know what you guys think on that down below, on the potential of Chris Paul coming to the Chicago Bulls. Now, I want to move on. We've been doing our draft coverage, and I think we're almost at the point of being about 35 or more prospects deep into the coverage that we've had here. Love doing the draft coverage. As you guys know, that's really when I'm in my bag, when I can do draft coverage. I love doing it. I'm a huge follower of the college basketball game. And I want to kind of start in this today's segment. I want to start talking about some tidbits coming around the draft surrounding the Chicago Bulls. One is not really surrounding the Bulls, but it is a player that I'm interested in coming to the Bulls, and that's Terrence Shannon Jr. This is a guy who I did have high on my board. I do think that Terrence Shannon Jr. is one of the better prospects in a weaker draft. I definitely do think that. Is he limited? Yes, in some areas. You know, one season of being a really good volume three-point shooter, but he's never really been a terrible three-point shooter, a spotty three-point shooter, for sure. But when you look at Terrence Shannon Jr., now he's starting to get in a lot of mocks falling to the second round, which is kind of surprising to me, considering the fact that Terrence Shannon Jr. is a guy who, you know, yes, he has the court case, which we're not going to get into heavily here, but at least the last couple of things that have been mentioned around it, it seems like it's going in his favor, that it may be dismissed, right? But the fact that he is falling to the point where, falling to the point where some mocks are starting to have him going, not even early second, like after like the first 10 picks in the second round. So, you know, maybe teams have some intel that we don't know. You know, draft combine, nothing really has stuck out or said that it's been bad from him or anything like that right now. So the case is scheduled in May. It should be done and settled well before the draft. And then you may see him shoot back up some boards. But here's what I'm going to say. When it comes to Terrence Shannon Jr., personally, I do fully believe that if Terrence Shannon Jr. falls into the second round, this is the type of player you buy a second round pick to get, because he could absolutely shine in the, be a player that shines in this draft. You look at the way that he pushes the pace. He thrives in a high transition faster pace offense. When you look at it, he finishes at the rim, has great footwork. He finishes through contact to get to the basket. A mid-range game, especially if the Bulls lose to DeMar DeRozan, you have a front line of Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, and Terrence Shannon Jr. potentially there. If he can work his way into being a starter, even coming off the bench, he can be your scorer right away off the bench. He moves without the ball. He loves to play in catch-and-shoot opportunities as well. His handle has gotten better every single year as well, and there's no reason to think that that's going to stop. A 79 free throw percent shooter, as somebody who gets around the rim and finishes through contact and gets contact, that's really solid as well. Has really good athleticism, not an explosive athlete, but has really good athleticism as well. Really good off-ball defender. On ball, he can struggle a little bit as well, but he has those defensive fundamentals that you can look at him and think that he's a guy who absolutely can turn into a solid defender. Don't know if he'll ever be a lockdown defender, but solid defender. He definitely is somebody who gives effort on defense. There's been some type of concerns about stronger players. Maybe he doesn't give the effort for effort as much with. But he's a guy, 6'5", with a 6'5", 6'6", with a 6'8 wingspan, a guy who can definitely play the two or the three at the next level, 220 pounds. The 6'5 is without shoes, more a little bit over 6'6 with shoes. So this is a guy who you got to look at, and I really do like him. Streaky shooter, that's definitely that you can admit he's a streaky shooter. Five-year college player, so he's going to be able to understand as well how he performs. Now, there are some questions as well. Over the 4 years in college, 20% as far as on the floater in that area. But again, somebody who can finish, he gets contact at the rim, can get to the free throw line. I really like Terrence Shannon Jr. And if he truly does fall to the second round, he's a guy that if you draft him in the second round, it all those kind of limitations and concerns around his game, right? Not the personal concerns, but the concerns around his game all start going down some when you start seeing that. So, you know, take that for what you will. Other kind of draft tidbits for the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are starting to be mocked more at 11 going to wing players. We had a voicemail from Vaughn over the weekend in which Vaughn talked about how, you know, players higher up around 11, there are more wings there, right? The centers are kind of going lower in the draft, which is why the Bulls may end up going wings. But there are two really talented wings that are starting to be mocked to the Chicago Bulls. One that I talked about before in Tajan Saloon. You guys already know how I feel about him. He does have that type of potential to be somebody that I think could end up being one of the best players to come out of this draft. I fully do believe that he could be a player that comes out of this draft. He ends up being the best one. Tremendous upside, all those type of things. Raw game, only 18 years old, would be 19 most of his rookie year. The defense, the off-ball defense, the hustle, the multiple positions that he can play and defend. I just talked about him, so I'm not going to go high into it. But him and Ron Holland are starting to be players, and Ron Holland is a player that in a lot of mocks earlier on was somebody that was slated to go top five. He's moved to top 10, now moving kind of outside the top 10 in some mocks. He has like the upside of like Harrison Barnes, Josh Jackson is some of the players that he was comp to. Got that dog in him, on-ball defense, awesome. Hustle, can get out in transition. Some shakiness on the shooting, right? 27% three-point shooter. But there are starting to be players that are mocked to the Bulls' wings. And so while most Bulls fans are looking at the center position because there are really a lot of talented bigs here, but it seems like per the draft combine and things that are happening right now, the wings are being in that area that the Bulls are drafted to while the bigs are falling down lower in the first round. If you're not Donovan Clingan, you're kind of falling, and Alexander Saar, a lot of the centers are falling in this draft. And so that's something that the Bulls may have to look at as well. And maybe is it a trade back scenario? Could that open the door if the Bulls just want a center? Could that open up the door to the Bulls getting more assets via trading back, which is something to watch as well? So this draft is not going to be as straightforward as what some people think. Now, also on top of that, though, because everything is so close as far as the talent level, you know, mocks are only there, can only be so accurate in a draft like this where, you know, your number 10 pick and your number 17 pick, the margin between those guys is very small. So you could see a guy go much higher than what a lot of mocks have them by the nature of that. But I do think that it is something to start watching out for, is the fact that more and more are starting to have the Bulls drafting wings. What does that mean for the wings already here that are young and still developing? And Julian Phillips, Patrick Williams, Dalen Terry, right? These are young wings that the Bulls have drafted over the last few years that still haven't gotten a huge opportunity. So could the Bulls go wing again? Which in the modern NBA, we know you have those long athletic players at the three and the four. It's not anything that's out of the realm of possibility. So you're starting to see that come around. And so it'd be interesting to see what the Bulls do here at number 11. Do they look to get creative out in the market, or do they just take whoever is the best available on their board, regardless of position, regardless of kind of where other teams are doing either? I think that could be a bit of a short-sightedness, right? If you have an opportunity to still get your number one guy on your board by trading back a couple of picks and getting some more assets, I think where the Bulls are, they got to at least explore that, but we'll see what happens. I just, you know, more than going over a prospect, I want to kind of talk about kind of the things that we're hearing around the draft with the Bulls, but you know, usually there's some intel. Now, we know that AK plays things extremely close to the vest. So, you know, that's where it comes down to. I don't know how much information is really coming out from the Chicago Bulls camp. But, hey, just something to kind of look out for as we move forward to the draft. A little under a month away from the draft. It's going to be a fun time to see what the Bulls officially do. Because once the calendar flips in June, you're going to start hearing more and more things. Teams are going to start bringing in more players for workouts. That's when we're start getting an idea of maybe where the Bulls are going per some players that they work out. And we'll be bringing that coverage here every day on Chicago Bulls Central, the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot, as I said, for everything Chicago Bulls related. And in return for hitting the subscribe button, as we're on our way to 20,000 subscribers, I'll be delivering the best daily content for the Chicago Bulls that you're going to find in podcast form, YouTube form, anything like that. So, man, make sure you guys stay tuned in with this, man. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.